Oh, okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia. Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Ayer que me llevas en la tienda, me diste una lección. Cuando a la señora se le cayó el billete, ¿tú lo recogiste?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. Baby, you don't know me, cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Claudia Cleary. Welcome to Namaste Nutrition. And I'd like to say thank you so much to all of my listeners for taking time out of your schedule for spending your afternoon with us. I also wanted to give a great big shout out and a thanks and just a recognition of appreciation to my producer, Amanda Dell, She is behind the scenes on this show, but you can hear her on Mondays at Messages of Light, and that show airs at 11 o'clock Central Time in the morning. And just let people know that if you're interested, you're more than welcome to come and listen to what she has to say. So let's get on with our program. One of the things that I think a lot of people have is a serious question about how to stay fit and healthy, and especially when it comes to keeping your body mass nice and lean. And so I'm looking at an article that was up on Yahoo today, and it's about sticking to the basics when you're in the gym. The article is three reasons why you're not losing fat. And from a yoga perspective, it's a question of making sure that the amount of calories that you're taking in are maximized in your body for nutritional purposes. But from an exercise perspective, you have to make sure that you're doing enough exercise to really burn off the excess fat that you have on your midsection or on your thighs or on your arms, wherever it is that it typically settles. And on each person, it's slightly different. But there are some really useful tips that you can find in different places if you're willing to search for it online. And you're always welcome to email me if you have any questions about exercise, about yoga, about nutrition. I would welcome your emails. You can email me at claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. That's claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. And I hope that if you do email me, you let me know, please, that you heard about me through Namaste Nutrition. And if you do come to my classes up in Florissant at Gold's Gym, I would love it if you would just let me know that you've taken a class or two up there with me. If you haven't, or if you're outside the area, it's okay. I understand. It's kind of a big commute. But if you are local, you're more than welcome to come up to the class. And just for my listeners, if you do choose to come up to the gym and you're not a member of Gold's, let the service staff know up the front that I invited you there personally, and I will see to it that you get a pass to come into my class and check out the class yourself. So if you are coming into St. Louis for any reason, please make sure that you give me a shout-out. All right, so is our guest on the air with us? Wonderful. We have a marvelous guest today. He's gone again. Okay, so we're having some technical glitches. It happens to all of us. excuse me. So a couple of other things that I wanted to talk to people about is some of the advantages of correct supplementation for maximizing your health, because a lot of times people think that if they consume the right foods and they keep their diet very, very clean, they will end up not needing any kind of supplementation and they'll be perfectly healthy and everything will be hunky-dory. Well, to a certain point, I think that that is true, but if you're manifesting aches and pains, if you have chronic headaches, if you have arthritis, or if you have a chronic issue with your digestion, if you have the predisposition towards inflammation of any kind, it probably indicates that there is something that's out of balance in your body and you're not getting every nutrient that you really do need from your food. And that's not to say that you can't change your diet. It's true. But making gradual changes over a over time is a lot more effective. And one of the ways that you can help to support and shore up your foundation is by giving your body correct supplementation. It's something that I talk to a lot of people about on a regular basis. So, okay. So if you would like to contact me and talk to me about supplements, please feel free again to email me. And once again, it's claudia.clear@yahoo.com. And we can talk about it. So I would like to say that our guest is definitely here with us today. His name is Dan Brannan, and he is an amazing writer. He is local to St. Louis. He lives up in Alton, and I'm trying to find my so that I can explain to you exactly what I can about him. He's been a writer for most of his life, ever since he was a child, and he started writing when he was about 7 years old. He published his first book. It was originally named Diabetes Doesn't Have to Be a Death Sentence, and it was retitled to Life to the Fullest, Stories of People Coping with Diabetes. And it was endorsed by the American Diabetes Association National Office. Right now, he currently has 6 published books. He enjoys writing about inspirational people, those who have overcome great odds for success. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Claudia. How are you today?
I am great. It is so cool to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us on the air.
You sound really good. I was listening to you a little bit before You got on with me, so yeah, you sound good on the air there.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit about how you started to develop your skills with writing. So you said that you started writing when you were 7. Mm-hmm. What prompted your interest?
My dad took me to a World Series game in St. Louis, and basically, I was so engrossed in it that day. We had standing room only seats, and they put me in a position where I could see from the upper lofts of the stadium, and I was so thrilled about all the things that happened that day. I started reading the local newspaper and then started writing my own stories pretty much after that. So I think it was just something inherent in me. And then in school, I always loved, the classes that related to writing and anything to do with that. And then as I went in college, I majored in journalism, also psychology, but the journalism was what I loved to do. I wrote at a newspaper in college, and then I started as a sports writer. And then I always wanted to write a book, and the diabetes book was my first one that I did. And I may follow that eventually. I thought about it. I've had some people ask me to do that, and I have a lot of stories I haven't told about people with diabetes, because I tend to write those a lot here at the paper, at the Telegraph.
What is your interest in writing about diabetes?
Well, I've been type 1 since about 20 years, and it hit me right out of the blue. I just overnight I was, really sick with it, and I've really had to adapt my life and learn how to, cope with it. And I try to exercise every day is one thing I always do, and I try to eat right. But even doing that, sometimes it's a real struggle. And I've had some near death experiences, with it, and tried to cope with that. And I wrote about that in the initial book, and I'll probably write even more. Now I've had some other things that I've dealt with, since that point. But I feel like my life was saved on a mountain in South Carolina. I was up about 10,000 foot up, and somebody ran me off the road, which never happens, a woman. And after she ran me off the road, she helped me. I don't know if I muttered something, but she got me something to eat and some orange juice and everything. And without her doing that, I would have run off the cliff, and I wouldn't be here right now. But I think it was a miracle that I was saved that day. So since that point, I've had kind of a different view on life, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think so few people realize. When you know somebody's diabetic and you're not familiar with what diabetes can do and how the symptoms of a problem with it can manifest, and it's something that's managed, right? It's never really cured.
No, I deal with it each and every day, and it's a never-ending battle. And sometimes even if you do everything perfectly, things still don't test out or work perfectly. But I really think diet and exercise are the keys to living successfully with diabetes.
Right. So what are some of the biggest challenges you think that face a lot of people who are diabetic today?
I think, a lot of people don't exercise who are diabetic, and I think that's probably one of the primary problems, because then it leads to heart disease and eye problems and kidney ailments. There's a lot of people on dialysis with diabetes. There's a lot of amputees with diabetes, which kind of led me, I think, to my book, A Life in Parts with Vicki Bennington, the story of Loretta Goble, who's kind of overcome multiple amputations to actually live a successful life, and that was released in the fall. But a lot of people with diabetes have amputations, and it's you have to try to over... The key thing is to take care of the limbs and the extremities in proper fashion. Make sure that you wear the right shoes and take care of your feet. A lot of diabetics don't do that, and they should.
Yeah, absolutely. So how have you changed your life since you, from the time before and then once you became diabetic? Did you make any drastic changes to what you did before and after? Okay.
Spiritually, it changed me totally, because I realized I shouldn't be alive. There's been multiple occasions where I've had close calls, but I just always felt like something was kind of watching over me to, keep me around, and there must be some purpose by the things, that I'm trying to do. And I've really tried to motivate people in many different types of ways, with humanitarian causes and all that. I tried to, make the most of what I do, with the printed word. And so I do love to write about inspirational people. I mean, so I get calls all the time. From readers and everything wanting certain stories done, and you know, all my books have been sort of like that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I haven't really read the whole thing, although I really would like to read A Life in Parts. It's just a time thing for me, but I have a copy of it, and I do plan on reading it. What are some of the other books that you have written? Can you please talk about some of them and what they are about?
Sure. The most recent that I just released, which I didn't plan to do this in like a 7-month time, is You Can't Kill the Dream, People Living the Dream. And it's people living out Dr. Martin Luther King's dream of of equality. And there's several real personal and intimate stories, some about the assassination and other types of things. And it's done very well. It's going to be in all the schools and libraries in Madison County. We have somebody that's going to put them there. I wrote a book called Everyday Angels back, I guess it was after the diabetes thing, right after it. And I've encountered a lot of really inspirational stories through the years. And I had the person that invented the white marking board in it. And he was a real good friend of mine, actually. And it was part of the Apollo mission and a lot of those kind of things. Billy Mills, a lot of people don't even know who he is, but he was a 10,000-meter gold medalist in Tokyo. He was American Indian, but he was also extremely inspirational. And for every book I've ever done, I've tried to donate to a cause of some sort. So I donated to the Collins Children's Home there in South Carolina for it. The diabetes book proceeds that I could donate went back to the American Diabetes Association. And so with everything I've ever done, I've tried to do that. We're going to try to do a scholarship program with the King book of some sort. We're trying to line that out. And then A Life in Parts, of course, we're trying to help people that, you know, have lost a limb in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Loretta is an amazing. Yeah, Loretta's an amazing woman, and she. I just need to explain this to my listeners, just because I think that this plays such a huge role in bringing awareness to so many people. Loretta didn't just lose a limb; she lost multiple use of, I think, both of her hands, both of her legs, and both of her feet, and. She's a gorgeous woman, and she looks like a model. And after her illness, she was able to get prosthetics for everything, and she lives a perfectly normal life. She's fully functional, and watching her do her toenails is actually kind of funny. She takes her leg off and puts it on the table in front of her, and she jokes about it too. But I have a question that I wanted to ask you, Dan, and I know that you're not a doctor, but this is probably something that has arisen in a lot of people's minds. Why do you think that diabetes is not an illness that can be cured by a pancreatic transplant?
No, I would think that that's a natural thing. In fact, I did a story about somebody, and I think it's one of the better stories I've had in the newspaper in a while, but she had had both a pancreatic and a kidney transplant at the same time. And she
really?
Said, Dan, why aren't you on a list at Barnes Hospital to get a pancreas transplant? And I thought to myself, I've never even thought of it, you know. So she kind of has inspired me to, I am going to contact Barnes Jewish. And I think if you're the right kind of person, if you, you know, take care of yourself, you exercise, watch your weight, that they will consider you, you know, for such a program. You know, I think they have different things over there. And I hope there's eventually a way where they try to cure it and not just, you know, you do the injections or put the pump is not a cure by any means.
Right.
I mean, it has a lot of pitfalls to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the message from the chat room is that Reverend B, who is the manager of our entire station, she is very into Martin Luther King, and she's probably going to love that book. We're going to have to make sure that she gets a chance to read it. So I just wanted to say that I think it's probably a really, really good thing that you know, you do look into it, because I know that you're very physically fit, and that's a key component towards making yourself well. I think one of the things we talk a lot about on the show is that if you take care of all aspects of your life, you're more likely to have a better outcome as you get older. And so especially if you're dealing with a chronic, and I say chronic because that's really what it is. It's an ongoing management type of a situation when you're dealing with something diabetic. But if you're dealing with a chronic condition, such as diabetes, which is so serious, it's really important to look at everything that you can do in order to maximize your health instead of say, oh, well, I'm diabetic, I'll just shoot up insulin the rest of my life and everything will be fine. It's not always the case.
I have
there's
never
so many
approached
people,
it that way.
Yeah, see, that's just it. I don't think that you do, but I think many people might think that that's all that they can do because they put all of their health care into the hands of their physicians. And I'm not saying that my listeners do, but for some people who might not have considered this, think about how you can end up changing the way that you approach your health in such a way so that you can end up maximizing your quality of life. And I mean, I know, Dan, that you do that already. So I'm really glad to hear that, you know, this is becoming something that's more, excuse me, more accepted and potentially more of an option for people as long as they fit the right profile and they're willing to do the work that's necessary to stay healthy. So anyhow, so yeah, there's another question that had occurred to me and now it just sort of flew out of my head. Oh, yeah, that's right. It has something to do with your newspaper. You have been the managing editor for your paper for a while, yeah?
16 years I have been here. I'm at the paper that Elijah Lovejoy, the abolitionist martyr, ascended from, and the Telegraph has a long, long history in newspapers, and we've been recognized with all kinds of things, you know, over the last several years, but we've been the top paper in the Freedom Company, won some state general excellence awards and everything. So we are known for what we do here, and we try to do a lot of human interest and inspirational type of stories too. A lot of papers don't do that, but we do. I never turn one down when I hear one. I either do them or get someone on the staff to join me with them.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's marvelous. And you've also done some investigative journalism yourself too?
Yes, yeah. I've done several different things. There, the King thing was sort of that, you know, because we traced the assassination and did a lot. You know, James Earl Ray was from Alton originally, the killer of Martin Luther King. We met with his brothers, and we did I think we wrote 20, 25 stories about it, and it,
uh-huh.
it received some real top honors also. We have a website on the King thing. It's called www.can'tkillthedream.com. And then Life in Parts is listed on a website, too. If you just type in Life in Parts, you will come up with it. But if you type my name in, both of it's under Daniel Brandon on these. But both of the books are kind of easy. And it's on Amazon. I think both of them are on Amazon. The King thing I know is out on Amazon. And Loretta's is, too.
Wonderful. This is so interesting. Listen, let's take a 5-minute break, and then we will be right back to continue our discussion with Dan Brennan. And if any of our listeners have any questions about writing articles or about the stories that that Dan has published through the paper, please don't hesitate to either call in. The phone number to call in is, I'm so sorry, hang on for just 1 second. It is 347-237-5339. Again, that's 347-237-5339. Please make sure that after you're into the phone line, you hit 1 on your dial pad, and that will get you into the queue to ask a question. Or you could also go on to our chat room as well through www.blogtalkradio.com/GGM radio and just click on Namaste Nutrition. You're going to be entered right into the chat room and you'll be able to ask a question through chat. So Dan, hang on for just a moment and we will be right back.
So I'm a cat and I just moved in with this new human and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent what?
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's You're listening to Greater Good Ministries Radio. and Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. And now, back to the program.
Hello, everyone. This is Claudia Cleary. You were listening to that beautiful music, compliments of Laura Lane Powell, who was our guest a few weeks back. And she has overcome cancer, and she's been a singer her whole life. She's absolutely amazing. Welcome back to the program to all of my listeners and to you, Dan. It's great having you here.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome. We don't have any callers to the best of my knowledge, but we do? We have comments that I wanted to pass along to you, Dan, from one of our listeners. Lisa Ann wrote, my angels are tickling me. Dan has been guided to his purpose. He is surrounded by angels, and he kept saying that he shouldn't be alive, yet it was his birth. And basically what I think she means by this is that you're here to help uplift people through the stories that you tell, which I think is really amazing. And you also need to keep helping your Indian friend, too. So she thinks you're a good person. Just thought I'd let you know.
That's very sweet of her.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so talk about some of the upcoming projects that you are working on right now.
It's kind of funny. They've been sitting around for a while, but I have one that is on a man that makes his living off of collecting cans. His name is Charlie the Can Man, or kind of his nickname, Charlie Moyer, and we've done a bunch of interviews in regard to him. And because of him, there's a law established that if you harm a disabled person, it's a felony charge in Illinois, and it went across the nation after he did it. He's from Alton. And if you go around Upper Alton, you're going to see him. He has a cart, and he just goes around and he collects every can he sees. He's probably the world's greatest recycler. And then there are a couple places that actually hold cans for him, and people throughout Alton hold cans and collect and take them to him. And he actually kind of makes his living off of doing that. And we think he has cerebral palsy and is deaf too. And so he's really an inspiration. And then I want to get back on the diabetes topic, you know, too. I said go ahead. The diabetes topic, too. I'm going to try to, you know, do something on it. I have a lot of stories that I've written that I'll take a lot of the people and kind of profile them, and I'll kind of weave my own story around it, I think. And mm-hmm. A lady was talking to me last night about writing kind of a novel, and another lady has asked me to help her with a book too, and I've been kind of working with her a little bit. So I feel like I'm getting farmed out more and more all the time on things. I just have to kind of take things one thing at a time and try to get as much done as I can. And I need to start creating again. I haven't done too much in recent months.
Well, face it, Dan, you're just such hot demand, you know.
Not really, but need to start trying to get back to. I just haven't done much creative writing in a while, and I'm really kind of missing. I've done so much promotion on these books that I spent most of my time doing that.
Mm-hmm. So just out of curiosity, can you tell a little bit about the story of the can collector that you had talked about? You said that it was a felony now if anybody causes harm to someone with disabilities. Was he harmed in some way?
Yeah.
Is that the reason why the law was passed?
Yes, of course I didn't explain that.
His
house is broken into by a man, and he was actually, trying to use the restroom. When he came out, this man physically assaulted him and almost killed him, basically. And, there's a man that's helped him. His name's Dale Newdecker. He was a State Farm agent, and he's done so much for Alton, too. But he kind of watched out as like a guardian for Charlie all these years, helped him with his can business, bought a truck that they used to take the things, and he stays in an apartment that Dale had above his insurance agency. So Dale, when he found out about this, he immediately, got the police involved, and then the police tracked the person down. And then Dale kind of pushed on it a little bit to see if some stricter penalty could be put toward it. And he ended up going to the Illinois General Assembly, and they actually approved a bill. It's called Joey. Back then he had a different name, Joey. He now has kind of taken the name of his family. He was adopted and everything. But back then it was Joey. It was called the Joey Bill, and it went all over the country. I don't know how many states now have such a law. I'll probably have to research that before we finish the book. But he's such an inspirational story. I mean,
that's wonderful.
Very, very intelligent. Yeah, and that's one thing. You can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, often, I mean, you have to look beneath the surface on people a lot of times. And he's a really intelligent and hardworking man. And I think often we just kind of give up on people that have a disability or an ailment of some sort. And I don't think we should ever do that. I think we should treat everybody the same, no matter what.
Oh, absolutely.
Even in high school, I was one of the kids. If somebody was picking on the nerds or whatever they would call them, I'd always defend them. I was an athlete and everything, but I just wouldn't tolerate it. And I tried when I was in school just to keep that from not happening as much as I possibly could. But my mom kind of taught me to be that way. That's how she always was, just kind to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how else did your mother inspire you?
She's just overcome a lot of things, you know, like in her life, and I think through that she's really helped me. And, you know, anytime I've, you know, been down or needed something, she's always been there, and she's a very prayerful person. You know, she taught me to go to church and the power of prayer. I still employ that, you know, a lot. I you know, pray an enormous amount all the time for different types of things.
Mhm. Yeah, I think that helps a great deal. Everybody has to find what source they can for their own spiritual food. Yeah. So, what has proven to be recently the biggest inspiration for you?
Say that again.
I'm sorry. I said, what has recently proven to be the biggest inspiration for you?
Trying to think. Probably that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
What I just said about, you know,
yeah.
Mother.
Sure.
I think just kind of watching her, how she's done and handled everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So talk a little bit more about your own management for diabetes, because when people understand that a diabetic diet is actually a much healthier way of eating than what most people typically eat today anyway, it might help put things into perspective. You don't eat weird foods, do you?
No, I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. you know, more or less, and I think that's, you know, really important. I don't mm-hmm. eat high carb. If a diabetic, the carbs are the most critical thing. So if you're eating a lot of carbs, it's not always the best type of thing for you.
Okay. Can you explain what you mean by high carbs? Because fruit
well,
and vegetables,
well,
people to understand
sure.
that they are carbohydrates. But when you talk about high
yes.
carbs, what are you talking
well,
about?
Bread is very high in carbohydrates. And so it's not always the best thing for a diabetic. And you should count your carbohydrates when you're eating, too. But, like, lettuce doesn't have hardly anything. Some lean meats don't have it. But I'm not a big meat eater. I eat virtually no red meat. And I don't think that's necessarily the best thing for you. I don't think you eat meat either from talking
mm-hmm.
to you.
Before. No, I don't.
But the carbohydrates, the heavy carbs, potatoes, some of those things aren't the best to just load up on. I mean, you should eat them in smaller portions. Ice cream, sweets, candy, cakes, pies, you know, that things of that nature.
You don't eat those?
No, never.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I totally, no matter what, I just stay away.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. It makes your blood sugar spike. So just
sure.
to clarify a little bit for anybody who's listening in, when Dan is saying high in carbohydrates, what I think he's really referring to is how the carbohydrates that you are eating impact your blood sugar level. And that basically means that a high carbohydrate food, by this definition, is something that's going to cause your blood sugar level to rise very quickly. And when that happens, it can cause an imbalance in blood sugar, and it can cause a crash. And so when you have your blood sugar that rises fast and then crashes fast, it sets the stage for more diseases and more complications medically. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's best not to eat those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things that you have written here in your bio, and I have to talk about this because I love to read myself. I mean, you and I could probably sit and talk hours about books. But you had written down that one of your favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was it about To Kill a Mockingbird that you liked so much?
I guess just the way it was portrayed and how the man kind of stood up for justice. And I just thought the characters just did a remarkable job. And the book itself is outstanding, too. I think it's one of the best written ones that has been put out. But she didn't do a lot of other things other than that. I think maybe she had another few books, but that was the main thing in her career. I think she's still alive, too, the author of it. But
yeah,
I
Harper Lee.
Harper's not real public, so she kind of kept to herself in a lot of ways. And
mm-hmm.
But I just if you write one like that and have such an impact, I guess it's worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are some of the other books that you've read that have created a lot of impact in your life, either fiction or nonfiction?
Billy Mills did an autobiography, the 10,000 Meter Runner. So I read, it, of course, and he influenced me a lot. Just as a young man, I used to watch film strips of him back in the 10,000 Meter thing, and it kind of worked to get me more inspired to be a track person. There's a book, Steve Prefontaine, about him. He didn't write it, actually, but somebody wrote his story. He was from Eugene, Oregon, and he was another 10,000 Meter great, but he was killed in a car crash, basically. But he inspired a lot of people. He was probably one of America's top runners ever, Prefontaine. He was real kind of diminutive, but he had an unbelievable heart.
Wow.
Not only
yeah.
the talent, it makes you a great athlete. I mean, you have to have some of it, but if you have the heart and the stamina and the fortitude, it really goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what kind of things do you like to do in your spare time?
Well, I read a lot, of course, and I love to exercise. I try to do that every day. I like to be outdoors, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a farm, and so I try to get out in the outdoors as much as I humanly can. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love nature and birds and, watching the animals, all those kind of things. I'd say
mm-hmm.
if there's anything, probably that. I just love to be outside. I don't like to be inside
mm-hmm.
too much when it gets warm and all.
Sure. Well, it's a good time of the year to be outside, too, especially in this area.
And riding, of course, is I ride all the time, so every day just about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you cook at all?
Yes, I'm not too good of a cook, but I that's something I really want to learn. More to do. My dad was a great cook, chef, and so as I get older, I'm really having more, because I want to eat nutritiously, and I think if you don't prepare your own food, a lot of times it's not good for you. So I might even take a cooking class. I thought about it, actually. But there is one where I live at a Dearburg store that they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they have several of them, and so I thought about taking a couple things like that.
Well, you could always, pick my brain, and then I can help you out with that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love to help you out with that.
I know you're a great cook.
Oh, thank you. That's right. You have had some of the stuff I've made before.
Well, I have a few times, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was whipping up. What was I making one time when you came over here? I think I was making a ratatouille, which
yeah.
I found off the internet, and that was a fun recipe to make, and it's perfect for somebody who's diabetic because it's all vegetables, and it's healthy
yeah.
fat. And lots of herbs and a great deal of flavor, and it's out of this world.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, and I would seriously like to do some more of that. And so, yeah, we'll have to get together and do some more of that. I think it'd be fun.
Maybe you can
and you
show
also
me
had
how to
some,
do this.
Show you how to what?
Do some of these things, cook some of these things.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Yeah, I've got some ideas about that. So, anyhow... Yeah, is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered yet?
Well, it pretty much does it. I hope to, just keep writing as time unfolds, and there's always something new I'm learning and dealing with, and I try to write a lot about my life experiences, too, so
mm-hmm.
probably some of those kind of things in the future I'll be doing. I've never written a novel, but I think it might not be a bad idea down the road, too. As a newspaper editor, reporter, I mean, you encounter so many stories that could be, you know, done in that sense. So it's a very interesting life, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. But haven't you found that truth is stranger than fiction?
Oh, yes. And that's why I've kind of stuck with that. But I'm kind of getting to a point where I'd like to do a novel one day. Mm-hmm. You know, just have
yeah.
to pick the right subject matter. You know, try to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting. I have read and read just like you do all my life. And so when I read a really well-written book, it's like you fall into it, and it's like eating an amazing meal, you know?
Yes.
And you just don't want to stop and you don't want the book to end just because it's so phenomenal. And it's a form of spiritual food because it's just so totally enjoyable when you can immerse yourself in something that really captivates your attention. And you are an excellent writer. I've read some of your things. And
I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and I'd like to read some more.
You have to try to keep people turning, and the beginnings and endings of every chapter, things like that, have to be really good. I mean, you have to have something
yeah.
to catch you, and you want to keep attention all the way through. If you have something that stops people, then they're not going to continue. So anything you write and publish has to have pertinence and relevance, I guess, other words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the cool things is what I would probably love to do if I was ever going to throw out a novel or something like that to write would probably be something that incorporates a diabetic character who learns how to cook and overcomes amazing obstacles on top of it, maybe some personal issues as well.
That sounds interesting.
Well, it's just something that sort of popped out of the top of my head. So you never know what you can end up coming up with. But all I could imagine is if you ended up writing a novel like that, could you imagine the cool recipes that you could add into the back of the book that would really be very inspirational
would
for
be
any of the readers?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, it
yeah.
would be.
I think
it that'd would
be outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. So do we have any more comments from the chat room? No? All right, well, listen, Dan, I would like to thank you so very much for being on the show. And would you like to give some information on how to get in touch with you if people have questions about your books, would like
sure.
to read them, or would like to have access to you or to your website?
Yeah, I'm dbrannan, B-R-A-N-N-A-N, at Civitas, C-I-V-I-T-A-S, media.com. I'm on Facebook under Dan Brannan, D-A-N-B-R-A-N-N-A-N. And, you know, like I said, we have both those websites, www.youcan'tkillthedream.com and www.lifeandhearts.com, too. Both those domains. And there's a lot of information on both websites, you know, too. And I have a Daniel Brannan Facebook page, too. I haven't done as much with it. The Telegraph has about 11,500, I think we're up to 11,700 Facebook fans. And we really got a lot
wonderful.
Of inspirational stories. And I directed the social media project for Freedom Communications, too. Here, so I have a lot of experience in social media and knowledge about that. I think it's very important to promotion and getting the word out about things. And so we do stories sometimes on Facebook now. We'll put things out and people will respond to us. We'll even talk to them on the phone. We'll just kind of chat back and forth on Facebook. So Facebook is such a good tool.
Yeah, it's a great way for help people connect with interests that they have and other like-minded individuals. It's a great way of really helping to market some of the interesting things that you're doing as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would, let me see, I'm just taking a look at some more of these things that you have down here about you and the things about the Telegraph as well. I'm looking forward to seeing some more of the stories that you have written, and also the more of the stuff that you have yet to write, too, because I think that it's going to end up having a dramatic impact on all the people who end up coming in contact with you and having the privilege of reading your stories and reading your books. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you bet.
Well, I have a doctor
that's going to help me with the diabetes thing. He's a specialist from St. Louis, and he's my doctor, but he's going to work with me on the medical part of it. And nutritionally, I'd like to have some things, too. I may work with you on some of that, you know, what people with diabetes should be trying to eat, because I know you have a lot of knowledge in that regard. But it's going to be kind of a combination of a lot of those kind of things just to try to help people.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. I hope that you have a marvelous day, and I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I'd like to thank all of our listening audience also for tuning into the program. I hope that I hear you back here on the air next Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central. This is Claudia Cleary, and the show is Namaste Nutrition.
Thank you.
You know the bed feels warmer. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.